This is Movies for the Blind, episode 291, The Vampire Bat, part 1 of 2.
Malignant demons who issue forth from their graves in the dead of night to attack their victims and drink the blood from their veins.
Hi, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. As I record this, Halloween is approaching, so it's time for some spookiness. Now, in the past, we've dealt with mysterious mermaids, very slow zombies, slightly faster vampire zombies after an apocalypse, people getting hacked up and hung from hooks, an abominable snowman, and some sort of soul-switching machine. This time, we're off to a creepy German village for a mystery about bats with one of our favorite leading ladies, Faye Ray, in her fourth film on this podcast. None of those films, by the way, featuring any giant gorillas. From 1933, in two parts, this is The Vampire Bat. Majestic Pictures presents The Vampire Bat. Screen story, Edward T. Lowe. Photography, Ira Morgan. Art direction, Daniel Hall. Film editor, Otis Garrett. Sound engineer, Dick Tyler. Directed by Frank Strayer. Produced by Phil Goldstone. The players: Lionel Atwill, Faye Ray, Melvin Douglas, Maud Eburn, Georgie Stone, Dwight Fry, Robert Fraser, Rita Carlisle, Lionel Belmore, William V. Mong, Stella Adams, Harrison Green. A street lamp is the only light in a dark village. Webs of tree branches shake over the face of clock. The stone buildings loom. A small light moves under an arch. A lantern held by a man walking with the help of a large stick. He carefully watches both sides of the street as he walks on, checking around a corner before continuing. He stops and looks up, but can only make out shadows on a slanted roof. Hurries away. Above the street lamp and beyond the roof is a window with curtains inside. The light on it goes out, and bats flutter nearby. Later, in the office of Burgermeister Gustav Schein.
But how else can we explain these terrible deaths? Von Ilse, last night, five others before him, that's six within as many weeks, Inspector. Our friends, neighbors that we'd known for years, drained of their life's blood, found dead in bed, lifeless skeletons of skin and bone. Vampires are at large, I tell you, vampires.
Malignant demons who issue forth from their graves in the dead of night to attack their victims and drink the blood from their veins.
Gotten him of Red Schneider, don't jest.
That blood-sucking legend belongs in the same category with werewolves and all other peasant superstitions.
But the bats, man. The bats.
God, yes. Big ones, so.
Oh, now we're switching to bats again.
There was an epidemic of giant bats in Kleinschloss in 1643. And at the same time, there was an outbreak of vampirism.
Rot.
Why, this record from the town archive proves it.
Says it, not proves it.
He opens a book.
Well, I'll show you.
He puts on his glasses.
Here it is. And on this day was von Hausmann hanged from a gibbet in the public square after being convicted on a proven charge of vampirism. And on this same day, there did occur the departure of the bats. Thousands of horrible flying creatures which infested the town for weeks. And on the night of this same day, February 13, in the year of our Lord, 1643, was there a stake driven through von Hausmann's heart and his head cut off with a gravedigger's shovel. There.
Well, all the records in the world can't make me believe in vampires. There are blood-sucking bats, yes. In South America, thousands of miles from here, but not in Kleinschloss.
But bats fly. They could fly here.
You saw the bodies. All of them. Two wounds on the neck, right at the jugular vein. Two wounds on the neck, pierced and spread apart just as if two fang-like teeth had bitten through the flesh and right into the veins. And in every case, a blood clot, 8 inches from the victim's neck, the mark of the feast, the devil's signature.
Does that appear the mark of a human being or a demon's?
God save us, the devil's.
The inspector turns to the stocky man.
You ought to make a pretty fair meal for a vampire. But let's be consistent. Are these human vampires or bats?
Vampires can take the shape of a human or a bat, just as they choose.
Oh, they're magicians. Well, it doesn't make sense to me.
The whole village is in terror. We live in closed houses, behind locked doors and bolted shutters. Not daring to close our eyes, fearful lest this unseen silent death may find us in our sleep, for it is then that it strikes, swiftly, silently, ghastly.
My room is tightly closed. The windows are barred, nailed down. Nothing can get in. Nothing.
But they tell me vampires can go through stone walls like that.
God save me. So they can. We've got to do something, I tell you. Kleinschloss will become a deserted village.
The inspector stands.
You might catch all the bats and drown them in the river.
Carl, Carl!
While you're hunting for vampires and chasing bats, I'm looking for a human being. A murderer, a fiend.
Well, then don't jest about it. Do something.
I'm trying to. Every hour, every day, every night since this thing started.
Carl puts on his hat as another of the men stands.
Do you hear it?
Hear it?
Yes. Night after night, lying awake until dawn, waiting.
For what?
I don't know.
That's what I thought.
He steps to the door and opens it.
Well, good night, gentlemen. Don't let the vampires get you.
Later, in a laboratory, someone is hunched over equipment, working. At the top of some stairs, a woman ushers in Carl, who goes down the stairs as she retreats. He descends past webs of thin pipes holding glass tubes in place, then walks by gurgling flasks and beakers to the hunched figure, a beautiful young woman. He slowly reaches for her shoulder. She turns and they kiss. A flask cork pops.
Are your kisses dynamite?
She corks the flask.
Don't you like my kisses?
They kiss again. And she smiles.
Well, how's my mastermind this evening?
Well, if you want the truth, not so good.
The Burgermeister and his grand council still stick to the vampire theory.
Stick to it? They're quoting history to prove it. I think you and Dr. von Niemann are the only sane people left in the village.
And you? What about you?
Me? Well, I'm beginning to think I'm seven different kinds of a fool. Murders are being done under my very nose. I must be as blind as the bats themselves. I can't find a single clue.
Oh, but you will, Carl. You will.
Well, I haven't.
Oh, Ruth!
An older woman comes down with a pot and cups on a tray.
And here comes dear Aunt Gussie to spread good cheer and hope.
Just what I thought. Slaving your life away in this awful place. It hasn't got that nice, clean, wholesome smell of a hospital. How are you, Carl?
Oh, quite well, thank you.
Well, I'm not. This clammy old place is bound to give me pericarditis, endocarditis, neuritis, anyway, rheumatism. You have some coffee?
No, thank you, Frau Stammann.
No, it's just as well. There's only two cups.
She has one to Ruth.
That'll take the chill out of your bones.
Thank you.
Speaking of chills, Frau Schnappmann, did you know the village is supposed to be infested with ghouls and vampires?
Oh, Carl.
Vampires. pariahs among fiends, demoniacal creatures with huge canine teeth who bite deeply into the necks of their victims to quaff and gorge on blood, warm human blood.
There's no such thing as a vampire, Carl Brett Snyder. I don't believe in it. You're just saying that to frighten me. And I just won't be frightened.
A man approaches from behind.
I'm entirely too sensible to believe in such rubbish.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, so it's you.
I'm sorry if I frightened you.
Where's an apron?
Who said you frightened me? I'm not afraid of anything.
Could you tell me where Dr. von Niemann is?
Well, he drove to the village to see Martha, the old apple woman.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, upstairs in one of the houses of the village, a distinguished man stands at an old woman's bedside as another watches. He examines the old woman's eyes. Considering, he steps away to a table and picks up a bottle.
Is this what Dr. Haupt prescribed?
Yes, sir. She takes it in water.
He drinks some.
Well, continue giving it to her.
Yes, sir.
Behind them, and not far from the bed, a door opens, and a pale blonde young man looks at the old woman. He holds a flower. Hesitantly, he approaches as the other two notice. Taking out a handkerchief to wipe his hands, the doctor watches the young man offer the flower to the smiling old woman. He smiles and rests it on her covers. The doctor shakes his head, then wipes his mouth.
It's stifling in here. Open these windows.
Herman, open windows. Me do, me do.
Herman goes to the shutters and opens them. Satisfied. The doctor tucks his handkerchief in his pocket and gets his cloak.
Well, she'll sleep well now, poor soul. It won't be necessary for you to stay here. A good night's sleep will work wonders for her.
It was kind of you to come, Doctor.
Oh.
He turns to the bed.
Martha has sold me apple for many years. Always a good, ripe, juicy one.
Martha, give me apples. I like.
Oh, Lucifer. Oh, Lucifer.
She wants her cross.
Herman, get.
Hurrying to a dresser under a crucifix on a wall, he gets a rosary. And the maid takes it.
Oh.
Giving it to Martha.
She won't let it out of her sight.
A terrible experience. To be attacked by a giant bat is enough to shatter anyone's nerves.
She talks about it all the time. How it flew in her face and tried to sink its teeth in her throat.
No, 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 no. Bats no do. They soft, like cat. They not bite Herman.
Quiet, Herman. See what you've done.
There, Martha, there. She'll be all right. If she isn't, let me know.
Thank you for coming, Doctor.
That's all right. Good night.
Good night.
The doctor leaves.
Run along, Herman. You can see Martha tomorrow.
Oh.
As the maid tends to her, Herman tentatively complies. Outside, the man with the stick walks past a horse and down a street. He pauses by a door where the doctor steps out.
Ah, Dr. von Niemann.
Ah, Kringen, how are you?
Much better, thank you kindly, sir, since you prescribed for me.
That's right.
Kringen turns to Herman, gawking at him.
Go to bed, Herman. Go to bed. You shouldn't be following around the streets. Dangerous.
Oh.
I'm afraid.
Afraid? Afraid of what, Kringen?
The bats, sir. Big, giant bats. With wings like an eagle's.
You saw this bat, you say?
I saw it swooping down the street. It came directly for my throat, sir.
When was this, Kringen?
Last night when they came to take Von Els. It was a big monstrous thing. I saw it leap across the alley and into a window. I ran just as fast as my legs could carry me.
You said nothing about this?
There's enough fear in the village already. Maybe I should. Maybe I should. I will. I'll tell the Burgermeister.
Yes, Kringen. That's the thing to do.
No. Bats. Bats good.
They not hurt Herman.
He plays with them.
You no tell.
No. No, 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 no. Go to bed, Herman. Go on. Go on, go to bed.
Herman wanders away.
You say he plays with bats?
His garret is filled with them. He makes pets of them.
That's odd. Very odd.
Maybe he's it. Herman prowls around the streets all hours of the night, just like an animal. Maybe he's the vampire.
Now don't start any gossip with that, Kringen. Heaven only knows where it might end.
Good night.
Good night, sir.
The doctor climbs into an open carriage, and a driver urges a horse to pull them away. Kringen looks around nervously. He notices Herman climbing from a lamppost holding a bat.
No.
Others watch him petting it.
Nice. There.
He tucks it under his jacket.
See? What did I tell you?
Perhaps there's something in what Kringen says.
Seems strange that a human being should want to play with bats.
Herman approaches them.
Ah.
He lunges a little, startling them. Then he walks away.
He isn't human, I tell you. He's in league with the devil.
In her room, Martha drinks her medicine with water. She holds the rosary.
Put it on. Put it on.
The maid helps get it around her neck.
There.
Thanks.
Now go to sleep. You'll be all right in a few days. The doctor says so.
Close the window. Close the window. I'm afraid. The vampire.
Well, he said leave them open, but I'd have them closed.
She goes to the shutters Herman had opened, crosses herself, and closes them. Then she returns to Martha's bed.
Do you want the light?
Leave the light. I'm afraid.
Well, I can't blame you for that either. I'll turn it down a little.
She does.
Good night. If you want me, just pound on the floor. I'll hear you.
All right. Good night.
Good night, Martha.
The maid leaves.
Oh.
In a foyer, the woman who had let in Carl lets in the doctor, who gives her his hat, gloves, and cane.
Herr Brettschneider is here to see you, sir. He's in the laboratory with Miss Burton.
Oh, thank you.
Giving her his cloak, he goes down the stairs to the laboratory.
Ah, here you are.
Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Ruth. How are you, Carl?
Well, I'd feel a lot better if I could find a solution to these murders.
You don't believe in this vampire theory, then?
Of course not, do you?
There are many strange happenings, my boy. Many mysteries beyond the power of the human mind to comprehend.
Have you a theory which might explain these deaths?
Well, I'll be pleased to discuss it with you, but not now. I have some very important work to do.
Well, tomorrow, then?
Tomorrow? Yes, perhaps. We'll see. Oh, this isn't so important, Miss Betty, that you can't let it go till tomorrow.
All right, thank you, Doctor.
She turns off some equipment.
Oh, how about Martha?
Huh? Oh, nothing serious. Just a case of nerves, that's all. Good night.
Good night,
Doctor.
Good night, Carl.
Hand in hand, they leave the doctor alone. Stepping past the tables where Ruth was working, he goes to a door and unlocks it with a key. He steps inside and closes it behind him. Later, the village clock tolls for midnight. In Martha's room, a light shines on the crucifix, and the windows are open again. The dim lamp on the night table glows beside Martha, who opens her eyes. A shadow falls on her. Later, marks are on her neck.
Name?
Martha Muller.
She's covered with a sheet.
Age?
I don't know.
Cause of death?
Like all the rest.
The vampire.
Yes, that's so.
Nearby.
When I said I was going to tell you, his eyes glowed up like coals of fire. His hand reached out towards me, as if he were going to sink it into my throat.
And weigh this well. He never works and never begs.
And yet he appears well fed always.
That's so, he does.
What does he live on then? I'll wager it's as Kringen says.
And my woman was in Martha's room tonight when Herman put a flower in her hand.
Strange business, if you ask me. Mighty strange.
I hate to be in your shoes, Kringen.
Yes, after what happened tonight, I'd locked myself in my room and prayed God to protect me from the devil.
Townspeople stand on the stairs outside the coroner's office. From out of darkness, Herman looks out around a corner. A shadow falls on the townspeople as the carriage arrives with the doctor and Carl, who climb out. The carriage pulls away and the men go up the stairs.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
They enter with Emil.
Dr. von Eman.
They go downstairs to join the Burgomeister, Kringen, and the others with the body. Spectators watch from the top of the stairs. Carl and the doctor go to the body, and the doctor uncovers it. He examines the wounds. While outside, his eyes wide, Herman hesitantly approaches the crowd. He touches a woman's shoulder. Everyone turns to him. But he goes up the stairs, undaunted. Inside, the body is covered again.
Well, what do you make of it, Doctor?
Are these two wounds similar to those found on the other bodies?
Dr. Haupt can answer that for you, sir.
Haupt approaches them.
Yes, they were the same in every case.
This is a strange condition, Carl. So strange that I doubt the evidence of my eyes. What was your conclusion, Haupt?
I diagnosed the wounds as having been made by needle-sharp teeth. Punctures are clean cut, penetrating into, but not beyond, the jugular vein.
Do you mean to say that you also believe they could have been made by teeth?
Frankly, I do.
Aha, you see, Brett Schneider?
What kind of teeth, Doctor?
An animal of some sort. It's hard to say. The fangs of a wolf, perhaps.
A werewolf.
Could they have been made by, well, a bat, for instance?
Herman arrives.
A certain species, yes. There are vampire bats.
Most of the people watch Herman go down the stairs, looking about with curiosity.
...of the Upper Amazon states that blood-sucking bats do exist. He further asserts that the victims often become blood drinkers themselves, citing a case in which he saw a native tortured to death in an anthill by his tribe brothers. They swore he had become a human bat. And, states Jamison, he confessed it.
Do you mean to say that such a thing as a human vampire is possible?
Herman reaches the bottom of the stairs.
Historic records would have us believe that an evil soul, assuming there is such, can take any shape it pleases.
So why not into that of a human being? Eh, Carl?
Why not?
Have you any literature on the subject, Doctor?
Yes, I have many interesting volumes on my shelves that might prove very enlightening. I'll be glad to show them to you.
I don't mind admitting that I'm up a tree. Stumped.
Well, we'll see what can be done, my boy.
No, Herman. This is no place for you. Go away, my boy. Go away.
Good night, John.
Good night, Doctor.
Good night, Haupt.
Good night, Doctor.
In the morning, Carl.
When Haupt is turned away, Herman pulls back the sheet over Martha.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
All turn to Herman. He rushes off in panic, back up the stairs and out, watched by Kringen.
A child fleeing in horror from the sight of death.
There goes the vampire. Arrest him. Lock him up. Kill him.
Has the entire village gone mad? Herman wouldn't harm a baby, and you know it.
I've walked the streets of this village for over 40 years, but tonight's the end. He knows that I've told he plays with bats. He knows that I saw him sneak into Martha's house just before midnight.
Perhaps he was taking her another flower, Kringen. The boy brought her one this evening while I was there.
He killed her just like he did all the rest. And now he's going to kill me. Unless he's killing a victim through his heart, I'm a doomed man. He'll kill me.
He goes up the stairs in his own panic. Later, in daytime, Ruth sits at a table beside a fountain, reading. Herman looks around through the posts of a gate, then smiles when he spots Ruth. He slowly opens the gate and steps inside, gawking. He turns with a start as Georgiana arrives with Carl. Glancing around, flustered, he retreats through the gate. Carl moves on toward Ruth as Georgiana stands watching. Then she walks away. Ruth looks up from her book and stands.
Good morning, Mr. Brettschneider. What brings you to Kleinschloss so early?
You!
Fibber, I heard the doctor tell Georgiana he expected you.
I knew there was something else.
You're a delightful prevaricator, Carl, but not a very convincing one.
Meanwhile, Dr. von Neumann walks through the foyer, then pauses when he notices Gussie counting her heartbeats with a stethoscope. Stifling a smile, he approaches her.
Oh, you don't mind me using your stethoscope, do you, Doctor?
Not at all, Frau Schnappen. But what seems to be the ailment this morning?
What's that?
He takes the stethoscope out of her ears.
Oh.
What seems to be the ailment this morning?
Well, Doctor, I am positive that I have valvular leakage of the aorta. Or maybe it's the...
She checks a book.
The right ventricle. There is something wrong with my heart. I can hear it beat thump, 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 just like the book says.
Well, if you didn't hear it beating thump, 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 just as the book says, I would say there is something wrong.
Outside.
What? Without a moon?
You have a heart of stone.
All right, then. Close your eyes.
When he does, she takes an apple from a fruit basket.
No.
He kisses the apple.
Oh, so, young lady.
It's too early in the morning, Carl. Much too early.
Oh, is it?
He kisses her cheek.
Oh, there's Aunt Gussie.
They turn to find her approaching.
She would show up just at a time like this.
They step apart as Gussie comes closer with one hand on her chest and the other in front of her. Carl takes the latter.
Well, Aunt Gussie, what's the matter now?
I have palpitation of the auricular.
She sits.
Ventricular. And mitral valves. With a cardiac tendency.
You mean your heart's beating?
Of course it's beating. Dr. von Neumann tried to assure me, but I know it's serious. I'm liable to go just like that.
Did he prescribe for you, dear?
Yes. Monoacid ester, salicylic acid.
You mean salicylic acid, don't you?
Well, salicylic. It helped me. My heart is much quieter. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
Oh, Carl. You will be good to her when I'm gone, won't you?
Yes, of course I will, Frau Schnappmann.
Well, I'm not gone yet. You can't marry her unless I say so. Don't forget that. Oh, my heart.
There, Auntie, you'll be all right. Just rest a while. What you need is...
What?
Rest, dear, and quiet.
She sits back in the chair and closes her eyes, sensing a chance. Ruth leads Carl away from her. Gussie watches with one eye. When they're at a distance...
And Gussie has a heart like a steam engine.
Carl grabs a quick kiss.
Cool.
They hurry away. Herman is back to looking through the gate. Sitting up at the table, Gussie smiles and gets an apple from the basket. Herman opens the gate and enters again, staring intently. He slowly creeps through the garden, around and behind Gussie, who's eating the apple with a knife. Herman pauses in shadows. She sets down the apple and knife and stands. She steps into the shadows, bending over.
Come on, kitty food. Daddy, baby. Come on. Come on, kitty.
As she searches through bushes, Herman sneaks to the table and reaches for the fruit. Gussie straightens up with a small turtle clamped onto her finger. She shakes it off. She examines the finger. Then notices Herman, who's slicing a pear.
Don't you know it's wrong to steal?
Startled, he checks his finger.
You cut yourself.
See? Blood.
Yes.
He sucks on the cut.
No hurt me. No hurt.
Oh, you poor thing. Now, you wait right here, and I'll run in the house and get something for that finger. A subcutaneous wound like that might easily result in a tetanus infection. Tetanus. Lockjaw. Not that you need be afraid. From the way you talk, I think you've got it already. Look, here's a nice juicy apple for you.
He grabs it with relish. Unsettled, she bustles away. He watches her. And when she's far enough, he puts the apple and other fruit in his pockets. So, is Herman just a kind, developmentally delayed vagrant, or something more sinister? If he's not, can anyone save him against the suspicious townspeople? And whether he is or not, who's the next victim? Find out in the creepy conclusion of The Vampire Bat, next time on Movies for the Blind. Herman is being played by Dwight Fry, no stranger to horror. He made a major impression as a minion in two of the landmarks, the original Bela Lugosi Dracula and the original Boris Karloff Frankenstein. He made so much of an impression, he inspired the rock epic The Ballad of Dwight Fry by Alice Cooper, and you can find it on the album Love It to Death. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast Creative Commons license. I'm also happy to announce we're now available on Stitcher, if you are so inclined. So, subscribe, share, and say nice things. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Make sure you're following updates on Facebook. And subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.